Good morning, Greg.
Morning.
Evening. Afternoon.
It's 10 p.m., my friend. Well,
I just wanted to mix it up a little bit.
I'm going to wear one of Allison's rings on my pinky.
You look lovely with that plastic heart pink.
I can't get one of her bracelets on. A little too thin for me, but I can fit a ring on my pinky. So, it's been...
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, that sounds like Bare Naked Ladies. What's up?
So we last did the show, what was it? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Last week?
Wednesday. Before the 4th, yeah.
Yeah. So...
Chingit home?
As far as I know, he got home. I think he was stuck around until yesterday, but I think he got his stuff. He wasn't here. He was in Stamford.
Okay.
And so now I think he's on his way home, finally. It was fun to have him around. I hope you guys appreciated having him on the show. He loved it, and then we got to do some other stuff too, including go downtown. During, we didn't know this.
Oh, Anthrocon.
Anthrocon was going on. And wow, that's something else.
You didn't, you showed me one picture of you just gawking at furries. I was hoping you'd pose with them.
Well, so what happened is very funny because we were going downtown basically to meet up with a couple friends of Damien and actually, you know, Damien and Alex, his boss,
Alan,
yeah, very close, and his daughter, because the other, the other members of the family were all going to the Taylor Swift concert, so the way we're getting down there, we have to go through the other way, because it's a huge amount of traffic for the Taylor Swift concert. We finally get downtown, and all of a sudden, I see these two guys dressed up in big, crazy, mascot suits, essentially, is what they looked like. One of them was Chester the Cheetah or something. I don't know. And so I'm like, that's odd. Maybe they're here for the concert. We didn't know it was Taylor Swift at the time. Okay. We know that there were kids going to it. Maybe they were here for the concert. I don't know. So we park, and we were going to go to the Sharp Edge, but the Sharp Edge wouldn't let Shane drink because he didn't have any local ID.
Okay.
So we went right next door to Ceviche, and they would let him drink. But we sat outside, and we got a view. Uh-huh. Because they sat outside. But the funny thing was, on the way there, so we just walk out of the parking lot. These same two guys ask, stop me and say, hey, do you know where there's any pizza nearby? I'm like, as I just pull up my Google Maps and type in pizza. And so, it was just weird that, all of a sudden, these guys, I was like, that's weird, are just sitting there asking me a question, treating me like it's normal. But I
head to toe costume, yeah, and they're asking for pizza, huh?
I did the same thing. These were off the shelf costumes, mm-hmm. So it was not.
They weren't the weirdo furries.
Well, the ones that I showed you, those were homemade, clearly homemade costumes, but they were exquisite and wonderful, and everyone was wanting it. The reason why, they sort of stopped in front of us, there was this huge line of people just to get picture them, because they were really doing it, and I was totally impressed by these people and the way they looked and what they were able to do, because it was clearly homemade, but they even acted a little bit like birds, a little pantomimey blue man groupie type things, and they would open their mouths and articulation. It was like, okay, I can see why you'd want to celebrate that sort of art, work and have a forum for that, and that's cool. But then most people were just had raccoon tails.
That's how Anthrocon sneaks up on you. You're walking around, everything looks normal, and you catch a guy with a tail out of it coming out of his pants.
Right.
You see a couple more of those, and then you see the weirdos.
And there were plenty of weirdos. There were weirdos besides the Anthrocon. I don't want to say they're just weirdos just because they're into this thing. I mean, Anthrocon gives these people an ability, a place to express themselves that they normally wouldn't have, and so of course they're going to try to they're going to flaunt it, and they're going to enjoy the fact that they can flaunt it in this one time. And Alan was like, he didn't quite understand it, and I said, I don't quite understand it either, but if you're thinking that it's just sexual, it's not. I mean, because that's the immediate thing that comes to mind. Oh, it's a sex thing, right? And it's like, well, I'm sure that sex is like, if it were to happen. Oh, we may have some visitors, so we want to pause this.
Hey-o. How was the fireworks, Allie?
Hi.
How were the fireworks?
Good.
Here, come talk into the microphone.
What did you see?
Whole bunch of colors.
Oh, really?
Here, talk into that mic like you were today.
What was your favorite kind of?
Oh, there was some green, but when Matt was there, he didn't like green.
Didn't like the green one, huh?
He loves green, but he doesn't when he was there.
When he was there. Do you like the fireworks?
Yeah, there were so many colors.
Any cool shapes that they made?
Well, one was like a flying heart.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
A heart with like a circle around it, or did it look like wings?
I think.
You think? Yes, down, Mike.
Did it make kind of cool noises? Hey, Max.
Yeah. There might be little ones.
Ellie, don't touch it.
We were really close.
That's cool.
Daddy.
What fun?
A mouse saw the bunny nest. I saw the bunny nest.
The bunny nest?
On the road.
A bunny nest on the road?
No, we almost ran over one.
Oh, you almost ran over a bunny?
Yeah, when we were starting to go.
I think he probably got out of your way pretty quick.
Yeah.
Bunnies can move pretty fast, so that's good. So I'm glad you didn't run over a bunny.
Bunnies are fast running in the woods.
Right.
Bunnies are fast, they run in the woods.
Bunnies are fast and small.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice and small. Well, that's good.
Ellie, don't touch. All right. I guess I got to put the kids to bed, so I guess we will pause now.
All right.
No.
All right, so we hope you enjoyed that brief interlude.
Yeah, we're rolling again.
We were discussing the furries and the thing about whether, you know, I was explaining to Alan, it's not sexual.
It's not all about the yiffing.
Because, I mean, I imagine that for most of them, you know, if they could get into a sexual activity in the furry costume, great. But it's more about the just sort of enjoying the experience of doing it. And I compared it to going to, you know, a beer convention or something. I mean, it's less visible, right, what we do. But it's the same sort of thing. You're gathering with a group of people who like the same thing.
Right.
It does translate. But sure. It's odd because it's not as big a thing. But, you know, you think about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, a Great American Beer Fest. Why do you want to go to a Great American Beer Fest and just drink Budweiser and, you know, Pabst and whatever? So it's just that they're a small minority of people as opposed to the larger minority. And that's what we think of them as weird as opposed to just something people do. That was my take on it.
Sure. But there is something weird about getting dressed up in costumes. Full-grown adults going to a costume convention.
Well, no, there's something weird if full-grown adults were to dress up in costume every day. There's not something weird about going to a convention.
Well, it's not any weirder than a Comic-Con, I guess, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, they're not dressing up in costume all the time. They're dressing up in costume for this one event where everyone else is in costume. You're constantly around people in costume. So, in effect, the less costume you are, the more you stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So, it becomes less weird in that environment. So, I get it. I totally get it. I understand why it's there. So I'm not trying to, you know, oh, those Anthrocon the furries, those are crazy. But it definitely was great because Alan's daughter was there and she's like 1.5. And so normally Alan was surprised by how docile she was. And I think it was because there was such an influx of information all around her.
What?
Yeah, like, what the heck is going on? This just, it was just too much more than she was used to, so mm-hmm. She didn't really get a chance to be bored. I'll show you a picture of her, a really cute picture that I caught of her. Because she was like, who's Greg? And she eventually figured out it was me, and then she would point and be like, yeah, that's right. And it was very cute when they caught her doing that.
George Zimmerman acquitted in the death of Trayvon Martin. Just really? Popped up on the in your CNN notifications or
not
whatever.
Not guilty. Huh. That's going to cause some... That's going to be interesting.
Look at that. If you weren't showing me a picture of Alan's daughter right now, we wouldn't have that breaking news on the Craft Beer Radio pre-show.
Yeah, breaking news that will come out 3 or 4 days later.
Well, a century ago, that'd still be breaking.
That's going to cause some possible riots.
So I've started watching Game of Thrones. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a bunch of people at work, Damien, Whitney, Jen, a couple people in the chat room, are all into it. I'm like, I really like it, but I have two things that, two complaints so far, two things that took me out of the story. And they really started twisting it. Like I was like, Damien's like, is it fun being a critic? I didn't think I was being critical. I was just saying, I really like it, except for there was two things that took me out of the story.
Okay.
And the two things were, so the first season in the first 3 or 4 episodes are doing the jousting stuff.
Right.
And I had watched that reality show, Full Metal Jousting. Uh-huh. So, and that's pretty realistic with how they did it. And the jousts are heavy and you don't hold them at your opponent the entire time. Right. It's a controlled drop and it is only pointing at your opponent at the very last instant because they're too heavy to hold up. So it's this controlled drop to hit into your opponent.
Sure,
and I'm watching the jousting on Game of Thrones, and they should have had a better advisor.
They're doing it for more dramatic effect, though. They're trying to use the story element of the jousting as opposed to,
But, it was in 2 different episodes. I'm like, oh, they're still jousting wrong. It's like, it just took me out of the story a little bit. And then the thing that really took me out of the story was when the Dothraki king melted the gold in the fire and poured it over the guy's head.
It would take way too long to make
the special effects. It was latex. It looked like latex. Uh-huh. So not a good special effect. And you can't melt gold over a campfire. The melting point of gold is almost 2,000 degrees.
Right, yeah, no. In the book, that happens, but that thing's been melting for a long, long time. Over
a kiln.
Over a kiln, yeah.
Not a campfire.
Yeah. They had to rush. They had to rush things in order to get all the plot points in the book. I see where you're coming from. Know that, in any of these shows, there are going to be situations where dramatic, you take some dramatic license to tell your story. So there's always going to be dramatic license.
I love the idea of pouring molten gold over the guy's head.
Yeah,
just it looked like wax. It looked like latex, and that's what they had used. And yeah, it melted in like 30 seconds over a campfire. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no. Again, everything I know I learned from reality shows. The gold mining show that's on Discovery or whatnot, in the season finale thing, they have the guy in the corner smelting the gold, right? Well, when you watch the gold mining show, you see them when they are done washing the gold and they have all the gold flakes, right? They always put them in a cast iron pan and cook it on the stove. But that doesn't melt the gold. That just gets all the water out. Gets all the water out so they can weigh it, right? And so they're just drying the gold. And, they put it on a stove, full burner, the gold doesn't melt. And then they showed what it took to make the gold melt. The guy's there with a blowtorch and holding it on the gold for a long, long time, And, we just watched it melt like chocolate in a pot. I was like, oh.
Give them a little dramatic license.
But no, it's just, but there's things that take you out of the story.
Okay.
And Damien's like, but, the couple, they're like, this isn't Earth, the rules might be different. This is the argument that's more fun to have. And that is in telling a story, you set the physical parameters of the story. Star Trek has teleportation.
Right.
Don't care how it works. It works. It's in the story. I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem with teleportation doesn't exist in this universe, even though Star Trek is set in this universe, right? Game of Thrones is set in, from everything you've seen, it is set in an environment just like Earth, with medieval Earth, with dragons. and things.
From everything that you've seen, there's a giant wall made of magic.
Okay,
there
well, I'm sorry.
Zombies behind the wall.
Okay, so that's not. I didn't say it right. I was being a little too concise. But the physical parameters of
there are
the
seasons
planet.
That last years.
Right. There's the physical parameters of the sword fighting, all the physical things. There's horses and wolves. There's not, other than dragons, there's not, you know, the horse, the animal that they ride on the backs of is a horse. It's not some alien creature. Right. It's, you know, it's set to be very familiar to Earth. So there's, you know, they're trying to say, like, you know, maybe the knights are stronger and they can hold the jousts, you know, physical parameters are different. None of that is explained where the wall is explained. The seasons are explained that they happen and they're not a consistent cycle and things like that. Nothing is explained about gold melting like chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, so that's...
The gold, the actual melting of it was, yeah, you have to just give them a dramatic license because it just, they didn't want to set up. There was also a forge in this small area that they had where they were doing. I mean, it was a different area that they were doing the whole celebration in the books.
So the seasons,
it's really a money problem. Yeah. They didn't have the money to make a situation where there would be a forge right near a party to give
the seasons, the wall, the zombies. You know, which I actually just saw the first zombie in the episode I watched.
The very first episode had zombies.
Well, you couldn't really tell what they were in the first episode, right?
The White Walkers?
Well, yeah, but you don't know they're... Like, so the one I just saw was the one where the bald guy comes back from the dead and he's, you know...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Pulls a sword out of his chest and stuff like that. So you see your first zombie up close and you see that it's an undead, you know...
Technically, that's a white, not a white... That's a W-I-G-H-T, not one of the White Walkers, which is sort of the force that animates the dead.
I see. Well, see, I haven't learned any of that stuff yet, right? I'm still discovering a lot. But there's things that are explained, you know. It seems impossible they built such a wall, but they built such a wall. They talk about how it's been around for thousands of years, 1,000 years, whatever. Part of the story. And everyone thought I was shitting on Game of Thrones when I said, you know, there was two aspects that took me out of the story, and here's what they were. And it was more of a thing like, oh, they almost did it perfectly, but they didn't, you know? It's not like, oh, you suck, you can't melt gold that way.
I can see how part of it, I mean, what you need to do, I think, is first say how much you're enjoying it. And then say there are these two tiny things, but I still enjoy the hell out of it.
And then
you say your two tiny things, and then they'll be like, yeah, but it's so enjoyable that you're able to forgive that. Instead of just saying, I just watched Game of Thrones, and there are two things that took me out of it. You should first explain that you're not trying to shit on the show.
I don't know. So Damien thinks I'm overcritical for everything, apparently.
If you approach it in a slightly different way, then I think they would have been more willing to join you on that. Interesting things are happening in other television shows. So Community is coming back with Dan Harmon, right, for 13 episodes. Donald Glover is only going to be in 5 of them.
Okay.
Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why is because Donald Glover's rapping career is starting to take off, or... whatever. He's pretty bad at rapping. And he, I mean, I really don't. Pitchfork had the best line in their review of his. He made an album called Camp. And the review of. And so there's sort of this like hipster quality to people who like Donald Glover. So the review, the first line of the review says, if you buy only one rap album this year, I'm guessing it'll be Camp. Basically, because,
people aren't buying it because they like rap.
Right, yeah. It was a beautiful line in that review. And, yeah, it's... I'm not a huge rap fan, but I know good rap from bad rap, and the stuff that Donald Glover does is not what I would call good rap, but whatever. That's where he wants to be right now, but it's too bad because I think he's a really, really gifted comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's very gifted in the music scene. I mean, I think he's community theater level gifted, as opposed to being, you know, real. This could be a this guy could be an international star, comedic wise.
Right,
but I'm sure there's a lot more pussy in music than there is in comedy. So that may have something to do with it. He's still young. You know, Eddie Murphy tried that, right? He went into music for a while. My girl wants to party all the time.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And where is he now? Well, he's still sitting on piles of money, but he's not not doing very many comedy things anymore.
Except for the animated ones.
But even those, he's not like... Yeah, right? His best roles recently was in Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, any movie role has just been awful. You got to be around comedy. You got to stay around comedy or else you lose it. You lose the edge. So I feel bad that that's going to happen, but whatever. I have a theory about Community.
Okay.
All right? I have a theory about at least the first three seasons. Because those are the Dan Harmon's ones. I don't know whether this is accurate or not. But for the first season of Community, you're Jeff. You, the watcher, are taking sort of Jeff's perspective on everything. You're cynical. These are kind of new people. You're not quite sure. You sort of start to like him over the course of time. And then you even start to have kind of feelings for them, but you're not really sure about the whole thing.
Okay.
The second season, you're Britta. You've grown to accept these people. You're sort of willing to more open yourself up and show your flaws, be goofy and still and be sort of loved and also criticized for it. There's more of a free flowedness to things that happened, but there's also mistakes and stuff that you make. In the third season, you're Abed. You're analyzing everything to the nth degree. Everything is becoming about what are the other possibilities and what could happen, and people are being boiled down, sometimes even in very simple archetypes in order to work in your story. But then in the end, you realize that that's not the best way to work through everything, so you sort of overcome that. So that question is, what's the fourth season? If the first season's Jeff... Whoa, what was that?
My instant message.
If the first season's Jeff, the second season is Britta, and the third season is Abed, Troy's not going to be around, Pierce is not going to be around.
Annie,
I suppose, would be the, you know...
I mean, what else is there?
Chang. Surely.
Chang.
Chang would be the one that I was thinking of that would be the one that would be kind of interesting. If they could do something interesting with the Chang character again, and they can make that. Or they can make...
Well, that's the thing. You know, it feels so played out. If they could have him be reborn and being a completely new character to the show.
Right.
You know, I think that'd be pretty fascinating. Because, like, how can they bring Chang back, you know? So that would be interesting for sure.
I mean, they could bring back Chang into it. If they could figure out a way to work the logic of it, then they could bring him into a sort of Pierce-ish role.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Anyway, so that's just, you know, that's my crazy dumb Community theory, which probably has no basis in reality. It's just, I was thinking about...
That's sad that Troy's not going to be on there. Because just the him and Abed, you know, yeah, Abed, you know, teamwork. Troy and Abed in the morning.
So that's too bad. Okay. Well, I was going to talk about Trayvon Martin, but I guess that...
It's been played out, right?
It's been played out. We'll see if there's a lot of consternation over that.
I was listening to the Alton Brown podcast. He just started doing a podcast and has a couple episodes in. It's you know, I like the person, right? So you get a little bit of that. So you get a little bit. He's interviewed Bobby Flay so far. This ice cream guy in Georgia. He's making, like, I guess some boutique ice cream that's, like, really well known that I haven't heard of. High Road Ice Cream or something. He is. You get a little bit more. You remember the Alton Brown that wrote that manifesto about his book tour?
Yes.
You get a little bit of that. You get quite a bit of that in his podcast. You know, very snarky, very... Mm-hmm. Surprising how snarky it is, actually.
You didn't get that from the show. The show was more Pee Wee Herman, yeah. And you're getting more Paul Reubens.
I still like Elton. I still like the show, but it was interesting. And this question popped into my head. You know, we have a relatively small listener base, right? Mm-hmm. If we run into fans somewhere, we're happy to, you know, hang out with them. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's because there's not enough to monopolize all our time. Mm-hmm. When are you too popular to, like, hang out with your fans? You know, like, at what size? Because, like, Elton Brown's too big to hang out with his fans.
Yeah.
And we're happy to hang out with our fans. You know, I wonder where that tipping point is, just as a little discussion point here.
It's an interesting question, because I think that the problem starts to become that as things get larger, it becomes harder to see. As things get larger, you start to see patterns emerging, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to see patterns emerging in people, and there are also then they're going to be weird spikes of things that are not part of the pattern, and you want to avoid those people who are not part of the pattern. And you're not sure which ones they are, so it's. So everyone becomes significantly more individual on our level when we talk mm-hmm. to them, but on the Elton Brown level, people coming up saying the same things to them over and over again, it kind of gets a little boring and a little like, you know, mm-hmm. there is, to a certain extent, what do you have to offer me? And
I mean, yeah, everyone, I think it has to do like how frequently this happens, right? It only happens to us a few times a year. You know, it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
If it happened every week, once a week, you know, you had to hang out with someone, meet someone, they know more about you, you know almost nothing about them. You know, that's probably beyond the point of you'd be too popular to hang out with fans, right? You know, maybe once a month, maybe that's kind of thing, once, twice a month.
Yeah.
I think it's about the time of yours that's being tied up, right? It's the amount of time of yours that's being tied up with this interaction. For a while, it's like, awesome, cool, I'm making a difference. But, you know, like, I'm not getting anything done. I'm just hanging out with fans all the time. I need to go get some sleep. I need to go work on something, you know?
Yeah, so. I think it's, you know, the point where it's impacting the schedule. Like, I, even vast celebrities, they will take, you know, if they're going to an event where they know there are going to be people asking for autographs, they may take, you know, a 15-minute time chunk and say, like, you know, I'll sign autographs for this period of time. I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can't do it for any longer because it will impact what I'm doing to stay famous.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, most celebrities, at least now, you much more grounded sort of celebrity masses where they'll, you know, if you're in a restaurant and somebody comes up to you, they, you know, can I sign this? They'll sign it and thank you, whatever, on your way. Mm-hmm. Most people will approach it that way anyway. Some will be very assholey about it, and some will just do whatever any fan wants. There are those occasional people, you know, there's the Weird Owls of the world who will sign an autograph no matter where or when. You can wake them up, knock, knock, knock in the door. Just give me your autograph. All right. But, fortunately,
why do people want autographs?
That's a more interesting question to me.
Why do people want autographs? See, I mean, like, when we're at these beer things, right? You see everyone wants their picture taken beside Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and that's the same. It's almost the same as an autograph. When I take photographs, I'm never into the, I want to be standing beside the Eiffel Tower photograph. Uh-huh. I just want to take a good picture of the Eiffel Tower, you know?
Well, so why'd you ask me for selfies of the furries? If you,
because I thought it was a funny tweet, that's why. That's the main reason.
I mean, if you're not going to be into that, why would I be?
Right. No, the main reason was, it's just a more funny, more ironic situation.
Yeah.
You know, I would have, you know, I don't know. I wasn't in the situation. I would like to think that I would have had, you know, for something I was tweeting, you know, well, you didn't tweet, you just sent it to me.
I sent it to you.
Yeah, so something tweeting, you know, I would have ironically put myself in as that guy.
It was available to people, mm-hmm. but it was a reply to you, so not many people saw it.
Right. But yeah, signatures. Like, if I saw someone, you know, like, and like, see, you know, like brewers, like, I've never considered asking a brewer for an autograph. I don't think it's not really not that culture. I don't see Sam signing very many autographs or anything, except for on books, right?
Right.
Just on books. And book signings, I'm okay with. I don't really.
Why?
I'm not as
as opposed to other ones.
I'm not as confounded by a book signing as.
But isn't it the same thing?
Well, I don't think it is exactly the same thing.
See, I think that's where you're wrong.
Pulling a piece of scrap of paper out of your pocket and having someone sign it versus having a work that the person has produced and having them sign it.
The work, it's not the work that they've actually produced. It's a printed, third hand.
But it's still their content, the content that they've produced.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someone comes down to the culture of having books signed.
Well, I think it comes down to really a very human idea, which is this transposition idea. The idea that you can imbibe some of the essence of someone into something via some method. And in this case, the method being their signature, that you have captured a bit of them with that. That there's something symbolic about that. Whether that's actually a bit of them or whether that's simply symbolic of them, there is then this sort of idea that you have, that you can then transpose almost a personality onto that object that was not there before. This is psychology ultimately. This is the reason why people. This is why religious things happen. Why we have religious iconography and. Why we feel reverential towards things, why even somebody like Richard Dawkins really cares about these personal notes that he has from Darwin.
I mean,
it's just an object.
So, I mean, back to the book signing thing, I got two books that are signed, and really both of them were incidental to the thing. One's an Alton Brown book, and I wanted 20 seconds to chat with him about the weight loss and everything like that, so I had my 20 seconds, signed it. I didn't have him sign any special note or anything, right? It just, whatever you want, Elton, just, you don't even have to sign it. Yeah. Just give me 20 seconds. And then the other one was, I listened to the Scott Sigler podcasts, and he was here in Pittsburgh doing a tour type thing, and I bought one of his books that came with a signature, and it was more of a giving him some money for all the support, all the podcasts he's given me over the years, because it was a self-published book. So most of the money was going into his pocket. So I bought the hardcover book and he was there signing them. So I got it signed.
I went to a Dan Harmon podcast, a couple mm-hmm. months ago. And there was a book that I had that was, self-published thing that he didn't sell. His girlfriend self-published it. It was all his stuff that he wrote. And I actually got a copy of it. But I didn't stand in. I would have liked to, but there was a huge line, and I was like, "But I don't really need his autograph."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that, that I really needed to have that autograph. And I've interacted with him on Twitter once or twice, so I felt like I had had that interaction. Mm-hmm. I don't need proof of it. And it's interesting to go into pictures. I don't take a lot of pictures when I'm on trips and stuff like that, and. Everyone I know does. They take all these pictures and I like to show off. And it's, my parents love taking pictures, and they sit me down and they mm-hmm. go through these slideshows. And I'm just like, I'm not really. Being there is what was important. The pictures mm-hmm. are incidental. If I think a picture is interesting, it's probably because of something in the picture, not because, I was there and I saw this.
Yeah, way too many of the pictures are, I was there and I saw this.
Yeah.
And it's not a good photograph. Yeah. The photograph doesn't tell any story in its own, right?
I wanted to bring this up when Shane was here, because he showed us the pictures of Rio de Janeiro, the statue of Jesus, the Christ the Redeemer statue. And I was just like, if you go to Rio de Janeiro and you take it, that's like going to Paris and taking a picture of the Eiffel Tower. There's nothing special about that. Whoop-dee-doo, you saw the Christ, or the big 700-foot statue that everyone sees.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that you were there is cool. The picture to prove that you were there, really pretty unnecessary. Unless there was something, the picture of the huge amount of people, the picture of the city was much more interesting to me, because you saw the large collection of people in this mm-hmm. small area. And that's an interesting picture. That has some value to it, as opposed to, it's a picture of the statue that you've seen a million times before.
Yeah, no, I get that part. I definitely get that part. Yeah, I try to. I mean, I might shoot a lot of photos. A lot of them are crap, but you know, I don't sit you down and show you through the crap ones. If there's photos that tell a story on their own, you know, not just a picture of Machu Picchu, but a good picture of Machu Picchu that has some feeling behind it. Yeah, those are the ones you show. You know, so even though it's pretty hard to take a bad picture of Machu Picchu, I haven't been, but I've seen pictures.
Well, I was glad I got a picture of Alan's daughter because it was a cute picture.
Mm-hmm.
But and I
it's not proof that you were there.
I'm glad I got a picture of those cool looking furries because that was on point. That was something cool to see because the rest of them were just people with, like I said, you know, raccoon tails that they bought or store bought costumes. Whereas these people put a lot of effort into that, so it was pretty neat.
Then we also I want to talk to someone who's pro autographs on scraps of paper, and I want to get their side of the story.
I'm sure there are autograph collectors and things like that who are like that. But yeah, I doubt that those are worth as much as, say, and the weird thing is, yeah, we attach monetary value to autographs. It's the feeling of a personal connection with somebody.
You see a guy in an airport, you pull out a stub of paper and have him sign it, and it's like, why? What's the...
Well, part of it is so you have evidence that you've met this person. But why should it matter that you've met this particular person? Well, this person has entertained me. Okay, well, that's great. So I got his autograph, and what do you do with it?
Hadn't thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they just haven't thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
But there's that culture of you see a famous person in the airport, you ask them for an autograph, right?
Right.
Maybe that's maybe it's a self-perpetuating thing.
It's a cultural thing, right? And now maybe it is true that now you don't see that happening as often because pictures are so much easier to take.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a camera with them now.
So you just snap a candid shot of Andre the Giant walking through the airport.
Or you take a picture of them with you. You're like, hey, could you be in a picture with me? I'm sure celebrities get that even more, much more probably than autographs. Hey, can you be in this picture with me?
Yeah, probably. Proof that I was there.
So you can show off to all your Facebook friends. Oh, well. Should we do you have anything else?
Time. No, I got some things. We can talk about them later.
I got some things, too. We can talk about them later. Power failure the other day. It's getting easier and easier to deal with power failures when you have
everything's a laptop.
Well, not just laptop. I mean, like my Kindle will work.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Oh, so you're not bored. Bored during power outages. Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm not like, oh my god, I can't do anything. I'm paralyzed. I can access the internet on my phone. I can. I Skyped with my niece. Uh-huh. And I used my Kindle for a light, so she. So I mean, I could do that during a 6-hour power failure. So it's I'm glad it was only like 70 degrees. If it were 90, I would have been like, oh god.
But, fill up the bathtub, just sit in it.
Yeah, but that it was 70 made it much easier. To just be like, no problem. Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll talk about that stuff later.
All right.